Welcome to the Music of America podcast, where every week we visit a different state in America and meet a different guest in the music industry. Every day, Monday through Friday, we begin in Alabama and we end in Wyoming. I'm your host, Tom Pollard. Let's talk music here on the Music of America.
It's Wednesday in Mississippi. We're in Jack's with our guest, Ruth Etc., who will be with us in just a moment after we talk about Joe Mendel's guitars. I've got this custom-made, handmade acoustic guitar named Margaret with all the tonal quality of name-brand high-end guitars. This guitar fits my hand perfectly with its mahogany neck. It glides easily when I play, but what I like most is that low-end sustain. And she was custom-made for me by Joe Mendel at Joe Mendel's Guitars. A maple bridge and fretboard, a veneer zircoat headstock, but it's the spruce body, I think, that really gives it that resonance, that deep sustain. A beautiful looking, beautiful sounding guitar, all custom made for me by Joe Mendel at Joe Mendel's Guitars. Check him out at www.joemendelsguitars.com just in time for the holidays, boys and girls. Get a custom made guitar made just for Ruth from Ruth Etc. And if you get it made this weekend, I'll send it off to Ruth and have her autograph it. Okay, no, I won't. Ruth Pooley, but who are the etc.?
Well, the name actually came from several different ideas kind of put together. It was a bunch of etc. already.
Okay.
Whenever I was kind of trying to come up with a name, I was like, well, I don't want it to just be like, you know, the Dave Matthews Band, like my name, right, the band or anything. I wanted it to be something more, but I couldn't think of what to be. And so I thought about, you know, well, it's me and it's you and it's people listening and it's the woman at the grocery store. It's, you know, the people that inspire me to write the songs, you know, past, future.
So it's everybody. And that's et cetera.
That's part of the et cetera.
Okay.
I also play with a bunch of different musicians all the time. So you never know kind of who you're going to get.
That was the thing. Another part of it. Yeah, that was the thing. I thought, no, I should point this out, that this is our second recording. I had a hard drive crash, and all of my Music of America shows, past, present, and to be produced, got wiped out. And so we're redoing this, so I already know a lot about Ruth, etc. And one of the things that intrigued me was what you're just saying, that if you're playing a show, you'll have a pool of guitar players, piano players, drummers, keyboards, whatever, and you might say, hey, John, or Mary, or Bob, or Phyllis, whatever, I've got a show this week. Are you available? And that's who Etc. is, correct?
Yes, exactly. That's what it's all about.
We call it a stable of musicians. and we know where that came from, I guess. So, but tell us about how you get started. Did you start as a child, as a prodigy? Were you a classical music trained pianist, or did you pick up a guitar one day when you're kicked out in junior high school or something, or what?
Well, whenever I was about 3 years old, I would go over to my grandmother's house, and she would just have me on her lap and put my hands over hers, and we would press the keys, and I just thought that being able to press these buttons and make these sounds, it was just the coolest thing.
Yeah.
That's all I wanted to do. And I loved to sing, so I was like, I can make music and sing. I can do this at the same time. This is great.
And you were encouraged by your parents?
Oh, absolutely. They've been super supportive the entire time.
Yeah. A woman on a week or two ago from, I think it was from Minnesota, Michigan, whatever, that she fell in love with the piano playing with her grandmother, and her father was like, there's no money in it. Nope. You got it. So she worked and did babysitting, did yard work, whatever. She could save her money. And she goes, I can't drive, but I've got enough money to buy a piano. I want you to take me to the music store so I can buy a piano. And what's he gonna do? It's her money, you know, and that's what she was working for. So he set her up out in the patio or whatever and said, you can play out here where nobody can hear you. what a support system.
Now, we have had conversations like that, you know, nudging me to go and explore other more profitable talents that I have, such as like, because I can do, I went to school for graphic design as well, and I'm really good in the art. So that's another part of the et cetera. It's not just my music. I make art too and design. But they've always been really encouraging, always taking me to lessons, and they come to my shows all the time. And
oh, that's great.
I think it's the greatest thing. I love seeing them out there.
Is there a particular song or songs that mom or dad will always request that, you know, or that when you know you're playing it, you know that that's one that they really wanted you to do?
I would say mom really likes, mom really likes.
Nobody Like You, we know that.
Nobody Like You. And dad, well, dad really likes 6 Feet. That's his favorite.
Oh, okay. Okay. Both songs that we'll be featuring later on today, we'll talk about those a little bit more. And I know that your mom likes Nobody Like You because of the last interview. A little foreshadowing, and we'll get into that a little bit. When you started playing out, did you play out as a cover musician? Did you have friends that you hooked up with? Or did you say, I just want to write music and I'm going to just start playing and whoever joins me? How did that evolve?
Well, there was one night that I was playing at the house, and I was playing for like 2 or 3 hours. And I was just like, I finished a song. I was like, man, that sounds good. I bet I could do this in front of people and they would like give me money. I was like, I'm doing it anyway at the house for fun. Like, why don't, and it just kind of evolved from there.
That's funny. I remember that when Steve Martin first started up in stand-up comedy, and he would play his banjo or whatever, and he made the silly song, but all I remember about it was one line. He goes, I get paid for doing this. And we do, you know, we write silly songs and we perform and we present them to people, and then they give us money for doing it. That's kind of a fun gig. Now, are you able to do music full time?
I am. I wear many hats. but I have a few residencies and regular gigs, and then I do some lessons and help with some recording and stuff as well.
Yeah. What do you like about the music side? Do you like the writing, the performing, the producing? Out of those three, rank them 1 through 3 of what you like the best.
I think writing is probably number one for me.
Yeah.
I love write songs. I will get on a kick. I think that I've written I've written 7 since we last spoke.
Oh my gosh. I've maybe written 7 in 2 or 3 years. And by that, I mean, I've noodled around and I've come up with certain chord progressions or certain melodies that are only this, you know, this long. what's your process? Because, you know, I line up 100 musicians, 100 songwriters, and 70 of them will have a different way of doing it, and the other 30 will be a variation of the other 70. So what's your method of writing?
It usually, for me, will start with a line. And then from there, because I've studied music for so long, I can kind of pick out, okay, well, that's the melody, so this is the key, okay, so that means these chords, and then okay, so then it goes like this, and then what, okay, and then it just kind of grows from there and blossoms.
But you said lines, so it's time. But it's lyric first most of the time with you, right?
A lot of times. There was one the other night that I was just like, I was in bed trying to go to sleep. And I just heard this like, dun, 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 and I was like, it wouldn't go away. And so I was like, all right, I'm going to, because I wouldn't be able to sleep. I had to go downstairs and figure it out real quick. They're like, okay, there's the chord progression. Okay, now, and record it real quick. And then I could go to sleep.
That's funny. That little dit, dit, dit that you did there immediately, it sounded like Tom's Diner to me. Beatles, I was really intrigued by it. I love trivia, and I love trivia about the Beatles because I'm like enamored with them these last couple of years. And the song All My Lovin' was the first song that they wrote where they wrote the lyrics first. Up until that point, Lennon and McCartney wrote music first. They, you know, they'd get together and they'd noodle around on guitars and come up with melodies, and I love the stories that they tell about how they'll write a song, like when they were writing something, George was writing something, and it's like it was stuck for a word on Attracts Me Like Something. And John says, well, you don't have to come up with it immediately right now. Just sing something that fits there rhythmically, you know, attracts me like a pomegranate, you know. And so that's something in the way she moves attracts me like a pomegranate. I love that. Or and what was the other one that Let It Be was a scrambled, Yesterday.
Yesterday.
With scrambled eggs, yeah. Scrambled eggs. Oh, my gosh, you've got such sexy legs. So do you do that when you're writing? You have a melody and you just throw words in there until you can come up with words? Or do you just throw a melody out and then record it and then build from that?
It kind of depends. I do pay attention to the meter. So a lot of times, whenever I'm in that flow state, I'll like kind of count it out and be like, okay, well, it sounds like I'm going to do here, get ready for da 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 da. And I'm like, okay, well, that's, you know, 6-7 syllables. So, you know, we could start between 5 and 8 if we wanted to elongate something. So, so I definitely pay attention to that the entire time.
Yeah. But it's usually melody. There's a melody with some da 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 da's in there. And then you figure out what the words are that go over the da 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 da's. Right?
Right. I know how I want it to go. I just don't know what I want to say, just or how I want to say it.
And that's where I'm stuck right now. It's like, I don't really have anything to say. It's already been said. So, I guess, and I'm old, so maybe I'd be a storyteller like Tom T. Hall and just start, you know, and then Bob Dylan or whatever, and just start writing songs about stories about. I love the song Tom T. Hall did about old dogs, children, and watermelon wine. You know, just a great story. Oh. But maybe that's what I need to do. First song we're going to listen to of yours is Angel Band, and I thought that was really cool. There's a really neat story about it, a sad story, but a neat story about it.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, so the story about Angel Band, I host an open mic at the station in the neighborhood Fondren in Jackson every Tuesday. And there was this girl that had been coming up. Her name was Miranda. She'd been coming for about 6 months just to witness and warm up and get used to everything. Yep. And she finally worked up the courage and met me off site, and you know, we rehearsed a few things, and she worked up the courage. She's like, okay, I'm gonna go, save me a spot. I was like, okay, we'll make it early before a bunch of people get there. I made her feel safe. I was like, don't worry, I got you, girl. And we were really excited about it. And just days before she was supposed to perform for the very first time, she passed away in a car accident.
That's so sad.
And so she never got to perform.
Wow. So then you wrote the song. Were you already writing the song and then you turned it over to an homage to her, or did you write this for her specifically?
Well, I went home from that open mic that night, and it just, the fact that she never got to play, she just broke my heart. And so mm-hmm. I was just kind of like, well, I hope she's up there playing with the Angel Band. I was like, oh, wait, that's a song.
And when you said that picture of her, I picture her up there with Janice and, you know, all the greats that have passed away, and they're like taking turns stepping up to the mic and singing a line in reverse or whatever, you know. And I've never met the girl.
Right. And that's another cool thing. So the way that after I wrote the chorus of the song that night, I really couldn't do anything else. I was just like, okay, got that out. I was crying. And I was just like, I'm going to go to bed now. And it was about a few weeks later, my guitarist comes to me and he's like, have you written anything new? And I was like, well, I got this. He's like, okay, where's the rest of it? And I was like, hold on. So, and I wrote the rest of the song in 15 minutes.
Oh, wow.
I was like, well, here we go. But the first verse is kind of designed, so it's kind of the way that you're leaving the earth to wherever you go next.
Uh-huh.
And when I leave this world, and it touches on all the elements, the wind and the air and the fire and the water and the earth in there. And then the next two verses are kind of about what happens when you get there and who you see and what instruments are there and how it sounds. Yeah. And the song grows with that. You can hear it, you know, it's by the end of the song, it's big. It's a whole big angel band. And everyone's there except Robert Johnson.
Oh.
That's the joke.
Well, that's
all we ever right. know is Robert Johnson.
All we need to know is Robert, and he's someplace else. He's not in heaven. That's funny. That's funny. Ruth Pooling from Ruth Etc., our guest here in the song she's talking about, we're going to listen to right now. This is Angel Band here on the Music of America podcast.
Oh, when I die, put me in the angel band. May we all rejoice in the palm of your hand. We'll send it from the heavens across the land. Oh, when I die, put me in the angel band. When I leave this world, I'll be sailing with the wind, breathing to the earth, wash away the sin. The fire will not stand me and send me on my way and lead me to the gates of pearl in the judgment day. Oh, when I die, put me in the angel band. May we all rejoice in the palm of your hand. We'll send it from the heavens across the land. Oh, when I die, put me in the angel band.
Angel Band, Ruth, etc. here on the Music of America podcast. I'm your host, Tom Pollard, and we'll have a few more songs coming your way with Ruth, etc., including Nobody Like You, the song Mom Insisted She Play. And we'll talk about that here in just a moment after I tell you about Vermont's Recreation Lover's Dream. It's called River Ridge Farm, Jeffersonville, a gorgeous vacation rental. It's nestled in the Green Mountains of Vermont. We're in snow season. You're right by Stowe, and you should get into River Ridge Farms immediately. It's an escape to everything wonderful that Vermont has to offer. This historic farmhouse sits atop 16 acres of fields, mountainous views, a pasture, a pond, tree-lined river frontage. Go enjoy this beautiful spot right in the heart of the Green Mountain State, along with the multiple nearby mountains and ski resorts, and breweries and micros and hiking trails, biking trails, snowshoe trails, and other tourist activities. This spot is known also for the multiple mountain views and the resident farm animals. When you book your gig at River Ridge Farms in Jeffersonville, book it through Diana and hook up with her about interacting with the farm animals. It's really fun. Or just do a relaxing and comfortable farm stay in this modern farmhouse. It sleeps 11 guests easily. There's enough space to throw an event like a CD release party or New Year's party or whatever, or just relax and rejuvenate in this beautiful Vermont landscape. Check them out, River Ridge Farm, Jeffersonville. On Facebook, you search River Ridge Farms, Jeffersonville. Same with Airbnb. There's lots of River Ridge Farms out there, so make sure you specify River Ridge Farms, Jeffersonville. River Ridge Farms, Jeffersonville, Vermont. Recreation lover's dream. Ruth, have you traveled to Vermont? Had a chance to do any traveling in your career?
I've done quite a bit of traveling, not to Vermont, but I stayed in New Hampshire for a night.
Oh, okay. Well, you almost made it. The Kankamangus.
I'm almost there.
The Kankamangus Pass is probably one of the most beautiful sights in the world at fall. Have you been there?
That I was supposed to go. Oh. I was staying in Maine at the time, and I was promised to go, and so I must go back and experience it.
Yeah, there's probably a story there, but I don't want to get into it. So
we've got a lot to cover.
It was funny when you sent me your songs, and most artists, the way this works is when someone signs up to come on the Music America podcast, I ask them to submit a few songs we can talk about. And she sent Ruth sent me three songs to talk about. And I'm like, oh, this is pretty cool. And then she sends me this one called Nobody Like You. And I absolutely love the song. It's become my favorite song out of the set that we play of yours. And she said, Mom said I have to play this one. So we were talking about, when your mom and dad come and your favorite songs. I knew that this was your mom's favorite song because that was how you prefaced it with me. It's like, oh, I got to add this one because Mom said so. I love that. I haven't had Mommy Said So as a reason for much of anything on this show, but that was great. That was classic. I loved it. So tell us about it. Tell us about Nobody Like You.
So Nobody Like You, I had this melody. I actually started out writing it on the ukulele, just a little G, A7, C7 chord progression. It's nice and fun to play on the ukulele. And I just wanted to write, it sounded nice and cheery, and I wanted a happy song that was a love song. Mm-hmm. But I wanted it to be where you could sing it to anybody. You know, right. And this is, right. This lyrically, this is exactly what that would do, is you can sing it to your grandmother, your lover, your friend, your kid, you could sing it to, but anybody that you appreciate, yep. And that you think, you say, hey, there's nobody like you.
It's really cool. It's uplifting. It's bouncy. And it was just fun when you sent it to me. It was almost like an afterthought. And I played it right before our last interview. And I played it all morning. It just had me kind of bouncing around and everything. It was really fun, you know. And I know it's your mom's favorite song. So I guess we'll listen to it. The song, Nobody Like You, with Ruth Etc., here on the Music of America podcast.
Dewdrops dance to wash the night away as the morning brings divine. The sun's coming up, it's a brand new day. You're the first thing on my mind. There's a path that you walk, I will be. You keep talking all the talk to me, to me. There's nobody, nobody.
Nobody Like You, Ruth Etc. here on the Music of America podcast. We played Nobody Like You because you said that was your mom's favorite song, but I'd asked you what your dad's favorite song was. And it was kind of interesting because it came across to me. It's 6 with the Roman numeral VI. So,
yes.
It's an interesting way of writing 6 feet. And this is another death song because we're 6 feet, 6 feet under, right? But is it about being 6 feet under, or is it when we're going to be 6 feet under?
So this song is actually inspired by the tradition of grave digging at the church that I grew up at my church, Chapel of the Cross in Madison.
That what?
Exactly. It is a tradition of grave digging. So normally at churches, you'll have, an altar guild that prepares the sacraments, and you right. have flower guild that prepares the flowers, make sure everything's pretty. And at our church, we have those things, and we also have a grave digger's guild.
Oh, okay.
So Ed, what this means is that any time that somebody is buried at the chapel, we have a ceremony, and the grave diggers come out, and we all dig the graves by hand with shovel, and we all pass the shovels around, and we're all trading stories about the person that just passed away. Pass around pints of whiskey, and everybody brings a beer cooler, and people sit and pray with the body, and we just it's an amazing experience to have. It's a tradition that I did not even realize. I thought that everybody does.
I'd never heard of that before in my life. So is it affiliated with this particular church, or is it just a tradition that you all do down there in Jackson?
No, it's a tradition kept to the church.
I'll be darned. Never heard of it. And so you wrote a song about it, and it's your dad's favorite.
I did. And so that's the story of 6 feet.
What Roman numeral?
Kind of a nod to to music theory for one, but also kind of a nod to the idea of Roman numerals being used in cemeteries. Because the church is a historic Gothic church from the 1850s.
Wow.
And it has a very interesting lore to it, and some ghost stories and stuff. It's one of the most haunted churches in the state.
Wow. How fun. There's a resource for songs right there.
And so whenever I started going to church there as a kid, it was a very small community. There were only like a handful of kids, my family being one of them. And so my parents really, and my family, my grandparents too, are the ones that really kind of built up the Grave Diggers Guild into what it is today and what it means today. And the congregation today is so, so much bigger than what it used to be.
So people aren't dying to get into there anymore.
We had to build a whole new church. It's cool. So another cool thing at the very beginning of this song, you can hear the bell very quickly. That's the actual bell at the church.
Wow.
And then you can hear it again at the end. And it's actually, I still have the video. I went to a grave digging that night and met my father. And I was like, hey, we're going to the studio tomorrow. Like, can you ring the bell? And that's the video. That's the sound we use in the morning.
Well, the song is called 6 Feet, and this is Dad's favorite. Dad's favorite from Ruth Cooley, from Ruth Etc., here on the Music of America podcast.
6 feet ain't enough for a grave. Time but a structure that man has made. Trouble.
6 Feet, Ruth Etc. on the Music of America podcast. One more song coming your way in just a moment. Trevor and Eileen Build of Ordinary to Extraordinary Life have created, produced, and managed the largest all-original indie music Roku channel called Otel Music Videos. They love to give back and help others be seen and heard for their life legacy and welcome new submissions from a variety of genres. Visit their website, oteluniverse.com. Click on the What is Roku tab. There'll be a drop-down menu. And on the drop-down menu, click on the Roku channels, complete, and submit your video on the submit video form. And then your videos will be seen on their Roku channel. Now, Roku is seen in about 160 countries. They've got a viewership of over 80 million people worldwide. Be sure to add their channel to your Roku menu. Watch and give them a 5-star rating and upload your video to oteluniverse.com and your videos will be seen throughout the Roku universe. How about that? Ruth Etc., our guest here on the Music America podcast. Have you done videos, Ruth? Have you done music videos?
I've not done an official one yet.
Yeah.
I'd like to for a band and for 6 Feet.
Yeah. And there's quite a few songs that you do. I could, the Angel Band would be awesome. What you can do, you can superimpose these images of all these greats, and then at the end, where's Robert? You just have a space show up and say, or you have Satan pull up or whatever, you know. But that'd be fun. And 6 Feet would be good too, because you could do that whole thing. You could do the whole song in a cemetery. It'd be awesome. And floating figures of Roman numerals floating around through the whole thing, and it keeps landing on 6. So I've got these great ideas for you. when you go in to record, is there a handful of people that you will always take with you to record, or do you record at home? Do you go to studios? What's Ruth Etc. doing in the world of recording?
Well, my current project right now that I'm doing at Eternal Beyond Studios is I'm working with Chad Wesley, and right now he and I are just going through everything in pre-production and getting all the songs kind of set so that when we go to the studio, now this next release is going to be a little different because it's a live studio album.
Yes.
So right now in all this pre-production stuff, we're setting it up so we can send out to the musicians so they can learn their pieces, and then whenever it's time to record, you know, we'll have a few rehearsals and then record the whole thing. We're looking at about 9-10 tracks. So
wow. Will you invite people to come so you have the live audience sound?
I'm not sure. I know that we're gonna have a few different shows.
Uh-huh.
For sure. But with the way that it's set up, we'll see.
Yeah, I've heard both. I've heard with the canned audience. I've heard with the live audience. I've heard with no audience. And I think there's a certain warmth and genuineness when you actually have live people in the studio applauding. Then you also have the craziness of people that don't understand decorum. And you got to edit that. Reminds me of a story. We were talking at Thanksgiving. We were talking about concerts, and my brother and I went and saw Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young. And at the end of our aisle, after every song, this guy would bark, bark like a dog. and David Crosby looked. He says, "Man, we've had panties and brassieres and joints and quaaludes and speed and acid thrown up on stage. We've never had somebody bark at us." That'd be just your luck to have, you know, live studio and then you have somebody in there barking. That's good. So the last song we talked about before, and I had this image of dogs playing poker. The song is called Holding Cards. And you said you wanted to work that in somehow, right?
Yes. Well, I think that it would add a lot to it, sure.
It will add texture to your video, right? They have the dogs playing poker, and then they step out of the poster, and then they grab a guitar. I can just picture like a Boston Terrier with a cap on, a cigarette hanging out of his mouth, and he grabs a bass. Again, I get these great creative ideas for you to implement with your videos.
I think that one's going to suit.
It probably will. It'd be good. Who's playing on this? Who's playing on this song?
I think it's mostly me. I've got, I know that it's, I've got a drummer on there, but I'm the one singing and doing the keyboard.
Okay.
And I think Eric might do bass on it. I'm not sure if this even has a whole, no, it does. It has bass. So Eric was on this one. But a cool thing that we did in the studio that I wanted to point out is there's this middle part where it's just kind of like a whoa. And one cool thing that we did, I recorded this one at Crown Studios with Shale Innes. He's a genius. And this was such a great move. You can hear the sound move in that part of the song. Wow. And what's happening there is that's not an effect or a pedal or anything. What we did in the studio is we had the microphone standing there, and then I, as I sang, spun around. And so the way that sound is moving is completely natural. Oh, and wow. And it creates a really cool effect.
That's neat. Now we're going to close our eyes and hear that. We're going to hear the song. So you're going to listen to the podcast twice. So you can hear the song twice. Once to hear it all the way through, and then second time to hear it with your eyes closed, so you can get that special effect. Ruth Etc., our guest here on the Music of America podcast, and her last song, Holding Cards, here on the Music of America podcast. Song called Holding Cards with dogs playing poker in the video to come in the future with Ruth Etc. Just make sure that I get a credit in the credits there somewhere, like inspired by Music of America podcast host Tom Pollard. Ruth, this is the last segment. First of all, thank you again for coming back and doing this because of the technical glitch we had. And this is the segment of the show where we ask the artist to just talk away and shamelessly promote yourself in the program segment we call Shameless Self-Promotion.
Right. Well, I would say in order to find out where I'm playing, what I'm doing, and to find out about all new songs, just follow along Ruth Etc. That's R-U-T-H-E-T-C. That's on all platforms, all socials, Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, all things. And then look out if you are in Jackson ever on a Tuesday, come out to open mic and come hang out in Fondren and or Drago's. We have play every Thursday for happy hour. Happy hour is till 7, but I play 5:30 to 8:30. We just have a lovely time there. And then also just be sure to look out for Live in Color. That's coming out in 2025. That'll be the live studio album coming out then. Live and then on the color. Weekends, Live in Color. It's kind of a play on words, like a Live in Color, Live in Color. Uh-huh. And the album artwork is really, really cool. So I'm going to be dropping some really cool merch soon.
Yeah. So it's like a kaleidoscope. You've got the graphic artist background. Did you design the whole album and everything? Did you do all that?
Yes.
Of course. Very cool. So that's exciting. It's coming in 2025. And
yes,
videos. You're gonna try videos or no?
Well, the whole album's gonna be videoed
too. Oh, okay. So you'll have videos.
So we'll have audio and video to go with that release. So I'm pretty excited about some of the possibilities we can do with that. The studio looks really good for that. So Nathan Mains has done a wonderful job transforming that place.
That's awesome. And it's Ruth Etc. on all social media, and it's ETC, net, you have to spell it Etc., right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a band name, Ed Cetera.
I like that.
How about that? Or a song. A song that goes on and on and on. Just dedicated to Ed Cetera. Well,
I'm giving you points on that one.
We're going to re-record these interviews more often. I can't stop these creative ideas, you know? Well, Ruth, thank you. It's a lot of fun. And again, thank you for coming back and redoing this podcast with me. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right. That's Ruth Pooley, our guest here on the Music of America podcast. Join us tomorrow, Thursday. No jazz, but something unique and different. The first ever all AI recording. This guy wrote a song and had AI completely produce and record the whole thing. We're going to hear it all tomorrow, in addition to him singing with some AI musicians. It's Dale Rushing joining us tomorrow here on the Music of America podcast. You've been listening to the Music of America podcast. We invite you to follow us at our website, www.musicofamericapod.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and X, formerly known as Twitter, under the same name, Music of America. Please check us out and give us a like and a follow. Every day, Monday through Friday, we will feature a new guest from that week's featured state. Keep following us as we evolve on these platforms to continue to give members of the music community a voice and a presence. And thank you for listening to the Music of America podcast. See how that sounds.